Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to be speaking again today about the Holy Spirit and why you need the Spirit-filled life, why you need to desire and seek the Holy Spirit in your life. And I would just make a statement here and say, if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've not received the full immersion of the Holy Spirit, that you're not living the life of power, the life of fulfillment, and the life of joy that God would have you to live, because it is His desire that every single person receive that baptism, receive that full immersion, and walk with the counsel and the strength of the Holy Spirit, the power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. And if you seek that for yourself, God will be faithful and true, and He will give it to you because He loves you. He loves me. He loves all of His children. He wants us to have the good and perfect gifts that are from Him, and He wants us to desire them above everything else here on this earth. And as we come about here in this Christmas season, as we go about our business and buying presents and buying things that have temporal or temporary value here on this earth, it's important that we keep in mind the greatest things in life are the things that come from God. The greatest gifts in life are those things that He imparts to us, that He gives to us, that He desires for us to have. And if you seek those, God will be faithful and true to give you everything that you desire. We're going to look at the attributes of the Holy Spirit here in just a couple of minutes, but before that, I want you to understand that everything in the kingdom can be obtained by asking and by receiving and by knocking on the door. God's will that every single person receive the Holy Spirit, and all you have to do is ask. And in Luke 11:9, Jesus speaks about this. He says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if the son asks for a fish, will the father give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" And verse 13 is the key scripture there. "If you then," he's speaking to the earthly fathers, "if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" And so our earthly fathers, they know how to give good gifts to your children. If you have children, you know you desire to give good gifts to your children. You would not think about giving them a scorpion instead of a fish, and you would not think about giving them a stone instead of a loaf of bread. And so as you have limited wisdom and limited knowledge, and you are certainly not perfect or blameless, as you know how to give good gifts to your children, even so, our Heavenly Father is much more zealous. Our Heavenly Father is much wiser. Our Heavenly Father loves us much more. He desires for us to have His good and perfect gifts. And so if you have been told that certain gifts are only for certain people, or that the deeper things of the kingdom are only for certain people, dispel that idea from your mind right now, because God wants you to have the Holy Spirit. He wants you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and He wants you to know the deeper mysteries of the kingdom that come with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as you seek those, and as you desire those, as you ask, and as you seek, and as you knock, God will be faithful and true to give them to you. And those three stages, the asking, the seeking, and the knocking, they represent three deeper searches for the mysteries of the kingdom. First you ask, and then as God hears your prayer, as you ask and He is faithful and He hears your prayer, then he says, come up closer, come to me closer, and seek me with all of your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And as you seek Him with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, then He will be faithful then to open the door for you. And as you knock on the door will come open. First, the small doors, the doors that open up the mysteries to the kingdom, and then as you seek him even more, then the doors become bigger, and God will anoint you with power. He will anoint you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He will anoint you with the fivefold ministry, some ministry or some anointing in the fivefold ministry, and he will send you forth with power, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, to spread the good news of the gospel to people all over the earth. Jesus told the disciples in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, he said, "You will receive power when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And so we start to witness as we have that power, as that Holy Spirit walks with us, that Holy Spirit goes with us. We have that power then to be a witness for the kingdom, a witness for the gospel, and as you do that, the Holy Spirit will then confirm that he is testifying of the power of Jesus Christ, he is testifying of the miraculous nature of God, and as you go forward, you will be a strong witness. You will have boldness, you will have confidence, and you will be a witness to the lost generation wherever God sends you. Well, we're going to look now at some of the attributes of the Holy Spirit, and most of these scripture are taken from the book of John. If you have your Bible, turn it there to John. We're going to start in the 14th chapter, and this is a teaching that Jesus gave the disciples. He was preparing them to leave them. He was preparing to go to the cross and then to be resurrected and go to the Father. And so he was preparing the disciples to receive instruction so that they would know that the Holy Spirit was going to accompany them, that they would know that the Holy Spirit was going to intercede for them and counsel them. And he wanted to tell them that because he wanted them to know that they were not going to be left as orphans, that he wasn't just going to run off and leave them and they would be abandoned and be orphans and have no direction, no hope, no power. He told them and instructed them about the Holy Spirit, how it would function, how it would operate in their life. And so for that reason, he gave three chapters here, Jesus did, he gave three chapters of instructions on the Holy Spirit. And this is the most comprehensive teaching in the whole Bible about the Holy Spirit. In John 14, in verse 16, the world will not know the Holy Spirit or have the Holy Spirit. And we see that is very true today. If you're not a believer, if you know people who are not believers, you know that they don't have the wisdom, they don't have the counsel of the Holy Spirit. They can't have the Holy Spirit because they're not born again. And so you must be born again first. You must become a Christian. You must go from that unbelieving world into that believing world. If you've never made that step, you can do it today. You can do it right now. Just ask Jesus to come into your life, confess your sins, repent of your sins, and say, "Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to know you in a deeper way. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to submit myself to you and repent of my sins." And as you do that, then you move into the unbelieving world, into the believing world. And then the next step is the second anointing, and that is to be anointed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receive the full immersion of the Holy Spirit, that baptism of fire that John the Baptist talked about in Matthew 3:11. And he said that there is one coming after me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And preceding that, John said that I am the one who baptized you with water for repentance. And so there's two baptisms spoken of there in Matthew 3:11. The two baptisms are the baptism of water, which comes with repentance and with the remission of sins and with the salvation experience. And then the second baptism is the baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit that comes when you receive the full immersion of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the full immersion of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's much easier, I believe, for people to believe in the baptism of water because they can see the water, they can see a person going down into the water and coming up out of it, and so it's much easier for them to grasp the imagery and the symbolism of the baptism in water. And of course, we know that in Romans 6, the first nine verses of Romans 6, there is a description of what the baptism of water represents. It represents the washing away of your sins. There's no magic in the water. The water doesn't do it. Jesus Christ's blood is what cleanses us of all unrighteousness. His blood cleanses us of our sins, but the water is representative or symbolic of that cleansing. And we go down in the water, our sins are buried, our sins are washed away. The old man is buried, he is dead, and he is buried in the water. And then you come up out of the water in newness of life, and you walk in newness of life, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old has passed away. And so as you walk in newness of life, you become a new creation and a creation created to share the gospel, a creation created to witness with power the gospel, the message of hope to the lost and dying world. And so there's two baptisms. John spoke about it, and these two baptisms then were fulfilled. Jesus himself was water baptized by his cousin John the Baptist, by the forerunner John the Baptist. And when he came to John, John said, you should be baptizing me, not I, you. And Jesus said, we do this to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, Jesus was saying, this was the right thing to do, even though I'm sinless, even though I have nothing to repent of. This is the righteous thing to do, to come down and submit to baptism, to show the world this is what I want them to do, and as an example to the world that I am submitting myself to the Father and I am repenting of anything in my life that is untoward the Father. Well, there wasn't anything to repent of, but he gave us the example that that is what we should do. And then the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove. The Holy Spirit showed the world that this Jesus Christ then was receiving the Holy Spirit. And that's God's will for our life, first that we repent of our sins, that we be water baptized, and that we then receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That fire that descends from heaven is sent by Jesus from the Father, and that Holy Spirit then goes with us in our Christian walk all the rest of the days of our life. Well, again, John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then Jesus said in verse 18, to give the disciples comfort, he said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And so the takeaway from that scripture is the world will not have the Holy Spirit. The world will never know the Holy Spirit. You must come into the kingdom of God to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. It is not just a thing or an it or a part of something or just a spiritual being. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit was given to us as Jesus left. The Holy Spirit was given to us so that we would have God with us when we walk here in our walk on this earth. John 14:26 tells us that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance all things. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. It's really amazing, beloved, when I stand up to preach, many times the Holy Spirit will give me scripture that I wasn't even thinking about or didn't have written down, wasn't even thinking about speaking, but the Holy Spirit will give me remembrance of that scripture so that I can recite it and use it in that message, in an appropriate place in that message. And so the Holy Spirit will bring to you remembrance of all things, all the scriptures that you've read. If you read through the Bible or even parts of the Bible, the Holy Spirit will bring remembrance of those scriptures. It's hidden in your soul. It's hidden in your spirit. And so when you hide those scriptures in your soul, when you hide them in your heart, then they are available to you, and the Holy Spirit will remind you of those scriptures. The Holy Spirit will also remind you and convict you of those scriptures when you start to do something wrong, when you make a move to endorse sin or engage sin in your life. The Holy Spirit will remind you of certain scriptures to convict you of sin and to try to bring you back and to bring correction into your life. The Holy Spirit will also counsel you. At times when you're very sad and you're full of remorse or your heart is broken, you've been betrayed, or some other event has happened into your life to bring a great deal of heartache and sadness, the Holy Spirit will then bring remembrance of Scripture that will counsel you and that will comfort you and that will bring healing to your heart and healing to your bones. And so that is another purpose of the Holy Scripture. I believe that is how the Bible was written when the disciples received the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of Acts on the day of Pentecost. They started to remember things that Jesus had said to them. And of course, we know that they wrote many of those things down, and that became the basis, the foundation for what we call God's Word, what we call the Bible, the books of the Gospels, the books of the New Testament. Were written down by men who had received the Holy Spirit, and they were able to remember the things that Jesus told them, and they were able to write those things down accurately. John 14, verse 27, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will leave peace with us. He will give us peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And so Jesus said, as I go, the Holy Spirit will be here to give you peace. You will not be abandoned. You will not be orphaned again. You will have peace. And so that peace is going to be very important in the days ahead as we see the world crumble around us, as we see the days here in America become darker and darker, and the spirit of the Antichrist rise up, and the lawlessness pervade the land, and people's love for each other will grow cold. The Holy Spirit will give us guidance. The Holy Spirit will give us peace. And so you'll be able to lay your head down at night, and you'll be able to get a good night's rest when people around you are falling apart, when people around you are crying out for deliverance and crying out for medications to help them with their depression or with their despair or their anxiety. You will be able to have peace and pray for them and strengthen them, and you will be able to lead them in paths of righteousness. You will be able to lead them out into the green pastures, because you will have the peace that those that don't have the Holy Spirit, they will not have it. John 15, 26, Jesus said, when the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And so the Holy Spirit is always there to testify of the grandeur of Jesus, of the greatness of Jesus, of the beauty of his holiness, of his righteousness, of his purity, of his grace, of his mercy, of his forgiveness. The Holy Spirit is there as a counselor to us to testify that he is from the Father, God the Father, and he has been sent by Jesus Christ. And so the message that the Holy Spirit will give to you is always the message of truth from the Father and from Jesus Christ. And so we know that he's not making stuff up that is to trick us. We'll never be tricked by the Holy Spirit when we learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. When we learn to hear that still small voice, we will never be tricked. We will always be given the truth in every situation. You can pray and ask the Lord to give you counsel through the Holy Spirit in every situation, through personal relationships, regarding your job, regarding your children, regarding your finances, regarding every aspect of your life, your ministry. The Holy Spirit will give you the truth in all things, and you will never be tricked. You will never be deceived. You need to learn to listen to that still small voice. You need to learn to spend time with the Lord and hear the still small voice. Spend time with the Lord. Turn off your electronic gadgets, your computer, your telephone, your TV, and spend time with the Lord in His Word and worshiping Him, and then you train your ear, you train your spirit to receive what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Well, John 16:7, Jesus goes on to tell the disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away." And of course, this was very difficult for them to understand. They couldn't imagine how they were going to be better off with Jesus gone than they were with Him there. They were watching Him each and every day perform the miracles. And so it was a very difficult concept for them to grasp that they were going to be better off with Jesus gone. But He tells them in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." And so Jesus said, the Helper is going to come when I leave. I will send Him to you, and you will be able to accomplish even greater things than what I have done. And what He was talking about was you will be able to go to the corners of the earth. You will be able to go to the remotest parts of the earth, and the Holy Spirit will be there with you, not only with you, but with all the Christians, the billions of Christians here on this earth. They all have the Holy Spirit, and that would have been impossible for Jesus to do, to go with all those people personally and to counsel them personally and to intercede for them personally. But because the Holy Spirit is with each and every believer, the Holy Spirit then goes with every believer, no matter where they go, here to the remotest parts of the earth, and the Holy Spirit will counsel them. They will accomplish greater things than Jesus possibly could have in His humanity, in His flesh. He had limited scope. He had limited ability to move around and to get around. And so now we have the Holy Spirit, and wherever you go, wherever God sends you, wherever you decide to go, and whatever doors He opens for you, you can be assured that the Holy Spirit is going to be with you, and you will have the Holy Spirit as your advocate, as your counselor, even to the remotest parts of the earth. Well, John 16:8 tells us this, "And when He has come," this is Jesus speaking again, "when He," the Holy Spirit, "has come, He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me; of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see Me no more; and of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Well, all people are convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin. The Bible tells us that God shows enough about Himself in creation that people are without excuse, that they know enough about God from His attributes that He shows them in creation, that they are without excuse. But also the Holy Spirit, through teaching, through people listening to radio, TV, or messages from the Bible spoken by their friends or in crusades, all people are convicted of their sin. Even those of other religions, they're convicted of their sin. Jesus will appear to them in dreams and visions, and so they will know that they have been visited by Jesus, and they will be convicted of their sins, and so they will not have an excuse. If they turn away from the Holy Spirit, then they are rejecting the message that God has for them. They are rejecting the saving grace and the love that Jesus has for them, and so they are convicted of their sins, and that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. When they deny the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in their life, then that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that is the unforgivable sin, which is to say that the unforgivable sin is denying the blood sacrifice, the atonement of Jesus Christ, and not submitting to His will for your life. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus goes on to say in verse 13 of John 16, "However, when the Holy Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." And so we have the prophetic locked into that scripture. We have the prophetic revealed to us in that scripture, that the Holy Spirit can even reveal to us things to come, things which we have not seen yet with our natural eyes. But the Holy Spirit, because it is coming from God, and it has the mind of God, and it sees into the future, just as God sees into the future. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows all things. So we too can know into the future and see into the future because of the prophetic nature of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit shares through dreams or through visions or in other ways what is coming, then you can be assured that this is going to happen, that this is going to be something you need to pray for, this is going to be something you need to be aware of and be cognizant of. And as you pray about that and seek the Lord, God can even reveal strategies and wisdom for you and knowledge to you that will help you in situations yet to come. Well, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift other than salvation. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that God has for us. You can have it. Every single person listening to me today, you can have it. All you have to do is ask the Lord for it, seek Him, and then knock for the door to be open. And if you seek Him and if you ask with passion, with desire, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart as you delight yourself in the Lord and spend time with Him. And ask the Lord, Lord, give me the full immersion of the Holy Spirit. This is what I desire from you, the full immersion. If it was good enough for John and Paul and Peter and Barnabas, it's good enough for me. And as you approach the Lord in that fashion, as you approach the Lord with that attitude, He will be faithful and true to give you what He has promised to give you. We have a book offer for you this Christmas season. As you think about gifts for your friends or family, I pray that you consider the book offer, Gather the Outcasts, Reaching the Lost in Africa. You make a contribution to the Gather the Outcasts ministry, we'll get that book into your hands in time for Christmas. And so I pray that you would do that, boost the ministry, make a donation to keep this radio broadcast on the air. Or maybe you would like to make a donation to the orphanage project over in Kenya, where we're building an orphanage to provide a safe environment and a good home for 40 children over there in Africa. And if you would like more information on that, you can go to my teaching blog, jimrao.blogspot.com, or to my website, gatheroutcast.com. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.